These are some very hard words that Jesus speaks in the gospel. And they're not only found in today's passage from the gospel according to Luke. Similar hard words are found throughout the four gospels. Most of us have a tendency to gloss over them because we do not want to face them squarely. Unless you reject father and mother, wife and children, sisters and brothers, and life itself, you cannot be my disciple. C.S. Lewis wrote a small autobiography in which he described his conversion to Christianity. The book is called Surprised by Joy. C.S. Lewis was a person very committed to logic and to the intellectual life. He was also a fearlessly independent person and refused to ever consider limiting his freedom. And when he explored the life of Jesus, he found the story of Jesus, and particularly the story of the resurrection and the ascension, incredible and unable to be accepted because they could not fit into a reasonable or a logical perspective. He also found the teachings of Jesus, particularly the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, unacceptable because they would deeply impinge on his freedom. Now, C.S. Lewis had a good friend. His name was J.R. Tolkien, the man who wrote The Lord of the Rings. Tolkien was a devout Christian. And he and C.S. Lewis would argue with each other about religion. And one day, Tolkien said to C.S. Lewis, "The reason you cannot accept the mystery of Christ is that your imagination is not large enough to embrace all of truth." C.S. Lewis thought about that a lot. And after some time, he did convert to Christianity. Although he says in his autobiography that the day he became a Christian, he is sure that he was the most uncomfortable and skeptical Christian in the world. In the first reading from Scripture, we're told today that the truth of God is beyond human wisdom. And we're told that in Jesus Christ, that truth of God is made present to us in flesh and blood. Now, the truth, or part of that truth, that is beyond human wisdom, is that if I grasp upon freedom, if I hold freedom tightly, I am not free. If I surrender my freedom, if I give my freedom away, then I am truly free. One of the most startling pictures found in the gospel is found in the story of the passion and death of the Lord, as is recounted in St. John. and particularly that meeting between Jesus and Pilate. Pilate is seated upon his judgment seat with all of the regalia of a Roman procurator. He is the picture of power and the picture of freedom. And Jesus stands before him. He's shackled. He's unable to move. He is the picture of captivity, of unfree. And Pilate says to Jesus, "Do you not know that I have the power to free you or to condemn you to death?" And Jesus said to him, "You have no power whatsoever. I freely lay down my life, and I freely take it up again." And Pilate realized in that moment the profound truth that Jesus spoke. You cannot turn a saint into a victim. You cannot turn a martyr into a scapegoat. You cannot take away from a person what that person has already surrendered. Pilate knew that Jesus was free. And the message that Jesus brings is that in obedience to the will of God, in surrender to the will of God, you and I become most perfectly who we are. We embrace the fullness of freedom and the fullness of happiness. That's a truth that is beyond, if you will, human logic. It is a truth hidden in God and is revealed in Jesus Christ. Simone Weil was a brilliant woman and a person of strong independence. And she sought constantly to plumb the depths of truth. And a friend of hers said to her once, "What are you searching for?" And she said, "I am searching for someone to obey. For without obedience, I become inflated and I become silly, even to myself." Jesus is perfectly obedient to the will of the Father. And in that obedience, he is perfectly free. Every time you and I gather here at the table of the Lord, we gather to celebrate that freedom of Jesus Christ, that obedience to the Father. We celebrate his suffering and dying, his rising, and his ascending in glory. And we pray that we might be drawn into that very image of Christ, that mystery of Christ might live more deeply within each of us, that we might learn what it is to love the Lord God with our mind and our heart and our soul and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what we celebrate. And it's into that mystery that you and I are drawn.